Welcome to our seventh sharing on St. Therese, beginning with a short prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our minds with your truth, and fill our hearts with your love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm wearing this day a pin, the Eucharistic pin that many people wear to show their love for the Eucharist. I'm talking to you from the center of the Eucharistic adoration of this holy monastery of men and women. We're talking about St. Therese simply because she's a wonderful example of how to live the gospel, how to form spiritual relationships, how to remain at peace, how to fight the Christian battle. And we all know that one of the most difficult things in our life is to maintain good, healthy friendships, and especially friendships in the Lord that are very beautiful. The last sharing, Therese was beginning the novitiate. She'd taken her vow. She received the novice's habit, the white veil, and nothing was even lacking, not even snow. She loved snow. Her father, as you remember, who'd been very ill with a stroke, came to the service, and as they were leaving the chapel to go into the main church for this particular service, Therese was dressed as a bride to be the bride of Christ. Agnes got all upset. Her sister worried about if Therese cried, Mr. Martin would cry, because after stroke victims certainly they're very, very sensitive. Therese began a whole new section of her life when she became a novice. Remember, she remained a novice her whole life. She did take her vows, and she was a fully professed nun, obviously, but she stayed in the novitiate. And those of you who know anything about religious life, it's quite a feat to do that. Her vows were postponed, receiving the white veil was postponed, and she again waited upon the Lord. But we see her now as a novice with Sister Martha and her own sister, Sister Mary of the Sacred Heart. And what's interesting now, Therese really had to be the type of person to find her own spirituality. That is, she's the youngest of the Martin girls. She's the baby, but she's the tallest of them all physically. But she developed a great devotion to the Holy Face. Sister Mary of the Trinity, who entered later, says this about Therese, who was her novice. Sister Therese of the Child Jesus had a very special devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus. She saw it in a mirror of humiliations and sufferings of Jesus in his passion. The sight of this divine face kindled in her soul a passionate desire to resemble him, as she put it to me. Now for Therese, remember what her title is, Therese of the Child Jesus and of the Holy Face. And they go together, the child being born and the passion and the death of resurrection, it's all one whole of Christ's life. So that we have the child being born in poverty, in uncertainty, in difficulty. And this, of course, attracted to Therese as she prayed the Stations of the Cross. It would be nice, especially during Lent, and many of the monks in my monastery at St. Vincent, we say the Stations every day, because the Stations give us a tremendous assurance and love of just how much Jesus loves us. For those who don't know who the Stations of the Cross are, they're plaques of the different sections of Christ's life that we put in our churches, and you can follow each plaque. You don't even have to say a particular prayer. Just stand before 1 through 13, and what some of the most beautiful stations are, the one where Jesus meets his mother, where Jesus is raised up on the cross. It's a powerful devotion, and especially if we do it in union with our Sorrowful Lady, we really have a wonderful example of love in Therese and our Blessed Mother. It's interesting today. I wanted to share with you one of the questions the Church asked during the process of canonization, like how do people become saints? What did the person suffer and struggle in their life concerning their faith? You know, if they didn't struggle with it, if they didn't work at it and suffer for it, where would be the heroicness in the person's life? The reason is, if they did suffer and struggle concerning their faith, then their strength came from grace or God's love, not from their nature. They didn't do it on their own. That's what we're saying very clearly. That somehow that I as a priest am going to become chaste because I have a willpower. We need a willpower. Obviously, we need to resist evil. But it's a gift. It's a grace that God gives me. It's the same with charity. It's impossible to live in a monastery. Ask Leo Mary. It's impossible to live in a monastery and truly love everybody unless we get the grace to do it. And it was exactly the same with St. Therese. Her strength came from grace, not from her nature alone. Although we have to cooperate, we have to yearn for it and want it. As Troy said, we have to take the first step. We have to take that first step in the spiritual life, and then God lifts us up. Mother Example is a perfect example of that. You know, she does this very often. The mystery is God works through suffering, and the greater the suffering, the greater supply of grace, because we need it. A lady asked me in the hospital, as you know, I'm a hospital chaplain, she asked me, why must I suffer? And I said, well, it's your share in Christ's passion. It's a redemptive suffering. And we all have it from time to time. I think if we're going to love, we're going to suffer. And that suffering is very difficult. It was very difficult for Therese. Isn't it consoling to know that Therese was such a part of our humanity that she too suffered in the same way we suffer? You know, the saints vitalize theology. Von Balthasar said that she's like a breath of fresh air, a breath of life in our theology today. One of the sisters, Sister Vincent de Paul, never really got along with Therese and never really appreciated her, you know. She said that she after she received the habit, she said, boy, you know, Therese heard this from some other sister, that you're pretty plump, you know, pretty well, hefty girl. And then some other sister said, well, she's too thin. So Therese said, you know, you really can't go by what people say. And that's important. You know, people are going to say different things about you, and they're going to say different things about me. You just have to be relaxed with it, as Therese was. It's, what matters is what God thinks of us, not what people think of us. And if you want to be liked by everybody, if everybody's like you, you're doing something wrong. You're just giving people false compliments, or you're all, you know. There has to be a personality clashes in every community. It's normal. But through these clashes, great growth occurs. Great growth. The cross in Therese's life is powerful. Always bring with you to prayer some mystery of the passion. And in this way, Therese avoided all deception. Because when we're in union with the cross, we're not in deception. We're definitely sharing what little the Lord wants us to, or what the greater little amount, in the passion of Christ. Remember that hand of Jesus when she looked up at that holy picture before she became a nun? That hand that was searching and wanting to be loved in return, pouring out his blood for you and for me. Now, who wouldn't respond? Many don't respond. That's the problem. Mother was very good last night when she was talking about many people don't respond to this love. And this is what's so important in Therese's life, that God raised her up to show us how he deals with somebody who responds to that love. This is what also she has to say, that we somehow rediscover the beauty of the cross. And this is obviously not easy to understand, because the cross is always a tremendous mystery. We certainly... the prerequisite, Ruth Barrow says, on our part is an acceptance of our poverty, the helplessness, the deep awareness that we need Jesus, our Savior, who alone brings God and man together, Jesus who is our holiness. See, this, Therese is talking about the mystical life. And the mystical life is something we can do. It's Jesus in us working. The Holy Spirit, it's the Trinity in us working. That God coming to do what we cannot do. The book that I quoted from was Guidelines for Mystical Prayer by Ruth Burroughs, Dimensions. And this is what we're celebrating. Now, many people don't understand that we have to enter our spiritual life, as Therese said, that she relied on Jesus for everything. And this is one of the crosses that Therese had to suffer. The most difficult, I think, was when her father was put in a mental institution. At that time, as we said before, that this was a cross that she really, really had a difficult time accepting. And not feeling, rather rising above the feelings. This is a Teresian theme that is very important for us to enter into, because many people feel guilty when they don't feel God. Many people feel that God is far away. God is never far away from us. One of the quotes that Therese liked so much in St. John of the Cross, the one of the founders of the Reformed Carmelite Order, along with St. Teresa of Avila, he was 25, she was 50 when they founded the Reformed Order. Love is repaid by love alone, and wounds of love are healed by love alone. Just take love on a human level. When a young man and woman are in love, they're wounded. You can't do enough for the beloved. You can't do enough for the beloved. When her cousin was engaged, they came to the monastery to tell Therese the good news that her cousin Jeanne was going to get married to a young doctor. And they came with enthusiasm and joy, and Therese said, why can't we have that same enthusiasm in our regard to our vows for Jesus? So Jeanne showed Therese the invitation to her marriage, and of course Therese wrote up an invitation to her marriage with the same joy and the same spontaneity. In the darkness that she suffered, you know, when the cross was laid upon her, she found strength and peace and a refined joy. This is one of the things that that she tells us, is the peace never left her. And that, to me, when the peace doesn't... If you want to know if you're really in tune with God, then do you have peace? That's the most important thing. When she heard about her father's death, she said, on that day I didn't say I was able to suffer more. I didn't say I could suffer more. Words cannot express the anguish. I'm not going to attempt to describe it. One day in heaven we'll be able to talk about this to one another, about our glorious trials. Now, we can all do this and follow Therese's example when the cross is laid upon us, you know. And the cross of separation from Celine, remember, now that Therese is entering the novitiate, she's been away from Celine about a year and a half, and Celine only lives a short ways away from the monastery, but there really are, there's a deep separation there. And certainly, we know that this separation was very difficult for Therese, and very difficult for Celine. However, Celine did have great support from Therese, which was very important. And she did support Celine. Before Celine actually joined the monastery, it was quite easy for Celine to write to Therese. There's a beautiful correspondence in French, and as I said, if you get those tapes in English on Therese's autobiography, she says here about the cross when she writes to Celine, who's taking care of her father, is it possible that I'm writing to Caen, meaning where her sister and Celine and Leonie were living, because at Caen is where the mental institution was, run by the Sisters of St. Vincent de Paul. Jesus is the spouse of blood. When you come in contact with Christ, what does Christ give us? It's the most beautiful and the most important thing is his body and blood, you know, the Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus. He wants for himself all the blood of her heart. Very dramatic, and very true. Oh, how it costs to give Jesus what he asks. What joy is that cost? What an unspeakable joy to carry our cross feebly, feebly. You might say, well, why did she say feebly? Therese is a realist. If Jesus carried his cross with difficulty, if Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, Father, if this chalice could pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done, are we better than the Lord? So when the cross is laid upon us, it's normal to really, at times, revolt in the beginning. You do revolt when suffering comes into your life. You do revolt. And Therese, she combined the intellectual acceptance and the heart's devotion. Her heart suffered greatly for her father, that she couldn't go to him, and she suffered especially from the fact that people whom he didn't know were taking care of him. That was her suffering. See, he wants for himself all the blood of her heart. What joy it costs, what an unspeakable joy to carry our cross feebly and weakly. Because that's the way Jesus did it. And what a joy to be humbled. It is the only thing that makes us saints. Can we doubt now the will of Jesus concerning our souls? Life is only a dream, and soon we shall wake up with joy. Oh, let us not lose the trial that Jesus is sending us. It's a gold mine to be exploited. Are we going to miss this chance? The grain of sand wants to go to work without joy, without courage, without strength, and it is these titles which will fascinate, will facilitate the enterprise for it. It wants to work through love. So, you know, at times when you feel or when I feel the cross is too heavy, that at times we really feel we can't do it, we know we have a wonderful example in Tres that we can do it. Ruth Burroughs comes in here again when she talks about the mystical life. To continue to love is impossible without a mystical grace, which is the life of Jesus in us. We all have it. It's not just for a few people. Jesus' life in us, which we all receive at baptism. The mystical life is beyond our power. It's beyond our power. It's God coming to do what we can't do. It's that freedom of heart. Ask a recovering alcoholic. Where do the recovering alcoholics get their grace? They can't do it alone. They know. And all of us are recovering from something. We're all wounded from something in our lives. And these wounds, instead of licking our wounds, you know, I feel it was a great grace that Father Abbot Douglas sent me to the hospital to work with the sick, because the sick take my mind off myself and my heart goes out to them. It's a wonderful job. Those of you who may be priests that are listening in, you know, if you can work in a hospital, it's wonderful. That's what Tres wanted to do. She had a great love for the sick, and she was very concerned in her community with those people who were either depressed or wounded or angry. Those are the sisters she went out to. She accepted the thing that's very difficult for the average person to accept. She accepted her poverty, her lack of strength, and her helplessness. That was her gift to the Lord. And it sounds very strange. I mean, I don't want to be helpful. I don't want to be helpless. I don't want to be poor. I want to have strength. But we do have strength. God's strength. Not, we're strong in Christ. You know, Teresa of Avila, Holy Mother Teresa of Avila, the wonderful foundress of the Carmelite Reform, said, Jesus, Teresa alone is zero. Teresa with Jesus is everything. I mean, the saints have this great gift to give us that intellectual and spiritual flow, you know. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our minds with your truth and our hearts. That's what we have. Because most people stop here. Because why? We're vulnerable. We're afraid that God might come too close to us. So we keep our religion here. I believe in Christ. I believe in the Catholic Church. Or we're from a Baptist. I believe in the... But we don't want to let the Lord, like, too close. And that's where we wound Jesus. And that's where all love, no matter what it... type form it takes, all true love, I should say. Because you can't call lust love. It isn't love. All love makes demands on us. And no doubt God makes demands on us. He asks us, if you love me, keep my commandments. But he alone can enable us to fulfill these demands. See, God, Tres said, God cannot ask us to do something impossible. If he asks us to love one another in truth, with sincerity, we do it with his love. He alone can enable us, if we trust in him and take him at his word, do what we can, and we shall find in him, we can do what we can't. So this is a powerful little thing, especially through Scripture. This is a powerful way of thinking. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And that's what we're celebrating. That's what these sharings are about. And, of course, with all what she's sharing with us today is she sees everything with the eyes of faith. And, again, this is like a theme that Tres is always talking about. She sees everything as coming from the hand of Jesus. Every little thing. And living in the present moment. And, again, I can't stress that too much, because most of us, you know, we miss so much in the present moment. And it's gone. You know, it's gone so quickly. But in this present moment, now, at this particular moment, God is with us, and we get the grace for the moment. Trez often says, as Trez gives us many spiritual truths, we don't get the grace for tomorrow. Like if we're worried about cancer, if we're worried about dying, which we are all going to cross over to the other side, that's not our problem today. We'll take it when it comes. Trez said, now is the moment of salvation. God has so many things to tell us at the present moment, but if we're not paying attention, he's in the whispering breeze. You know, some car could pull up beside you, and maybe somebody would ask you directions, and you might give them a word that would really help them. And so, one of the things that we're celebrating with these talks on Trez is that her theology, her spirituality, is always in regard to God's will. And God's will is that we have life. You know, one of the most important things that the Holy Spirit has to give us is life. Abundant life. And again, the problem that we've been discussing today is just the simple fact that we do want to give to the Lord at times, but he wants to give to us. It's 90% of the spiritual life is receiving. Receiving the body and blood of Christ, just receiving. And suffering whatever we have to suffer, you know, as trusted, we cannot believe that we can love without suffering because our human nature is there. Ask a husband, ask a wife who've been together for years. Why are they still together? Because their love is real. When you know all about someone and you love them, that love is real. In religious life, we know each other in our monastery. We understand each other. And what happens is you keep forgiving other people. And then God keeps forgiving us, and we keep forgiving each other. The little things in life are the most, not the big things, the little things that the misunderstandings. Let us suffer the bitter pain without courage, without courage. Jesus suffered in sadness without sadness. We would suffer without sadness and pain. And we still would like to suffer generously, very, in a grand manner, but an illusion. See, the knowledge of the world, the secular knowledge, it doesn't apply in religious, in the spiritual world. The spiritual world turns secular knowledge upside down. The cross is something in the world to be avoided, where the cross truly gave Trez life. Towards the end of one of her letters, she said, if only you knew my misery, oh, if only you knew. Celine really doesn't know what Trez is talking about until she joins the monastery. They had many, many letters that were corresponding. Trez, of course, was Celine's, in a sense, her spiritual director. They were twin souls, if you can put it that way. And only after Celine joined the monastery and became Sister Genevieve did she understand that it's great to talk about spiritual things by the fireplace, sipping. Nice to talk about John of the Cross sipping a glass of wine by the fireplace and nada and giving up everything. It's such a beautiful, but when you do it, when you're in the middle of doing it, it's a whole other ball game. She says here, sanctity doesn't consist in saying beautiful things or feeling beautiful things. It consists in suffering everything. And that's what any husband, any wife, any true child, that's what love consists. Let us profit from one moment of suffering. Let us see only the present moment. And that's where she's a help to us today, simply because a moment is a treasure. One act of love makes us know Jesus better, and it brings us closer to him for all eternity. And that's really, really what we want. We certainly, in today's sharing, it's hard to talk about the cross. And Trez is not a saint who wants to suffer. She's not one of these things who says, please give me more suffering. You'll never see that in her writing. But she understood, she made this connection of love and suffering, that whatever Jesus had in mind, whatever Jesus was calling her to, especially her father's love for her. And of course, Trez is Eucharistic. Now, the final thought I'd like to leave with this day is, think of Jesus in the tabernacle. We as Catholics believe he's their body, soul, and divinity. Think of Jesus in the tabernacle, Tressa. He is there expressly for you alone. He's burning with desire to enter your heart. So don't listen to the devil. Go without fear and receive Jesus in peace and love. Now, we'll talk about this letter during the next sharing. This was written to her young cousin who was in Paris, but it's a Eucharistic letter. And Jesus, keep in mind that Jesus is there in the tabernacle, waiting for our visits, alive. See, this is what Tres is telling us. Visit the Blessed Sacrament. Sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Adore the Blessed Sacrament. In our seminary at St. Vincent, we have adoration every morning for a couple hours. And the seminarians and the monks come in. And what we do, we get refreshed in Jesus. It takes a little bit of time. It takes time to get ready. But keep in mind that he's there for you alone. And he's waiting for that door to open that you may enter. This is what Mother said last night. So, sit under the presence of God's love in the Eucharist. We conclude with a prayer. May God bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Our Lady cover you in her mantle of protection and wisdom. See you next time.